Has some updates on the prayer. That's how fast this church is. Boy, I mean, we're up right up to the minute. Some of you might know Rick Galitali, and he's a friend, just a super guy. Steve, he's an Italian, and I'm sorry, Gigi, he's not Sicilian, he's Italian. But years ago, Rick came down with cancer, and it went into remission. Well, it's come back. So please be in prayer for Rick. When I went to Tucson to teach at John's Church a couple of years ago, got to meet Rick Halleck's father or mother and stepfather. Well, Rick's stepfather, his name is Gary Toole, has come down with cancer. So please be in prayer for Gary and Rick's family. Okay, we got another update. So please be in prayer that what God is doing in Gary's life and his family. Rick has a wonderful mother and Gary, and also just be in prayer for them and for Rick. And some of you may know Ray, another friend and good man. He's come down with cancer, and they're going to start radiation on his larynx, tonsils. My goodness. This is not a good thing. Y'all don't want it. I mean, don't. My gee. So, Ray's mother been diagnosed. Okay, so we need to be in prayer for what God is doing in that regard. I try to do my interest reading other than things for the history in the Bible and study things for the Bible and different things that keep me abreast in regard to the text in the area of all kinds of areas of health. And I've read so many times where people who have contracted cancer and it either went into remission or they're battling or whatever, many of them have said it's the best thing that ever happened to them. Not just one or two. And not just one or two lines. I have several lines of thought and dealings with cancer that I feel are very effective, and all of them, this is the best thing that ever happened. The alert of what life really is about and how important life really is, and things that were so important before the cancer just aren't that important anymore. And it's a shame that we have to sometimes go through something like that. This is going to be part of our theme New Year's Eve, but it's a shame when we have to go through things like cancer and to be shocked into our own understanding of how important life is and relationships and family. And these things are just dying out in America. And every now and then God does these things to bring us into a reality of these things. Leslie's brother-in-law is... we've been in prayer about cancer, about his heart, not cancer, but his heart, and that has been very well taken care of. But now he's got another problem in the chest, and he's got to go into the hospital. Get this, December 23rd, and we'll be in the hospital to about the 26th or 27th. And I'm like, couldn't they pick some other time to do this? Get in there tomorrow or something? But that's the way it is. And the doctor's got to pay for the Christmas presents he's bought. No, that's not. That is not. That was not nice. And so we need to be in prayer. Just a lot of people need our prayers in this respect. His name is Ron Campbell, by the way. For those of you that do pray, appreciate that. Tonight, all of you should know by now about the party this evening. A church gathering. If you don't, anyone not know? Because everybody should know. If you don't know, that'll be good, because that lets us know we need to do work, get you on our updates. Everybody knows. 5 to 7, and at Gary and Pam's, and, you know, okay, so I don't need to tell you, but if you want to bring a little a gift for a little girl, a little boy, just mark that it's either a boy or a girl, or generic, be for either one of them. And so, and then bring a little dish. She said, bring your favorite dish. And I said, well, my favorite dish is Kim Basinger, but I can't bring her. And she said, she just looked at me, you're pitiful. And so bring your favorite dish and come to have a lot of fun. And a little fellowship and some good time and some fun. So please plan on doing that and this evening. And we'll have some church fellowship. Okay, any other announcements before we get into it? Okay, let's open the text to the Gospel of John. Got an exciting morning. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. We now move into the prayer of Jesus Christ. His prayer. People, we've spent a great deal of time on prayer preparation, and last week on some principles of prayer. Very interested this last week, or I guess now it's a little over that, but Billy Graham in a live interview was asked an interesting question. When the question was asked, at first I thought, but his answer was profound. Asking, what would you change about your life? I got thinking, here's a man that has given the gospel, evangelized for so many years, decades, and to ask that. But his answer was very interesting, people. He said, oh yes, there are two things I would change. He said, number one, I would pray more. And number two, I would study the Bible more. And as I thought, wow, that's exactly what I would do. Those two things, if I said there's anything I would change, it would be to pray more and study more. And so I understand that. Prayer is so important. And we began 04 with prayer, and we end 04 with the emphasis on prayer. And just pray that it will become a vital part of your life, as will the study of the Word of God. I just pray that this next year we move into a new place, wherever it is, whatever it is, that the Spirit will incite you for the love of Scripture, to want to know more and more about the text. Something else Billy Graham said, he said he felt very strongly that we're near the time of the rapture of the church, and many other people feel that way, and I think it's probably in the realm of truth, but nobody knows. Nobody knows when that'll happen. But this morning we're going to look at the prayer of Jesus Christ. So let's prepare ourselves for the study of His prayer. It's a short prayer, but boy, is it powerful. So let's begin with a word of prayer. You have had your Spirit record so many things in the Scriptures, Heavenly Father, that are for our benefit, our edification, our understanding. And now you give to us the prayer of your Son to you. You allow us to enter into that personal part of life of prayer. Pray now, Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see in regard to this prayer. We'll never understand it totally, but I pray that your Spirit will open our eyes, give me the ability to communicate the impact of this prayer that touches all of the spiritual warfare and touches our lives, our marriages, our homes, this church. Pray it in Christ's name. Amen. 12:27, now my soul has become troubled. That's going to become very important next Sunday when we study the Christmas story in Job chapter 1. Now my soul has become troubled. What shall I say? Now this is prayer preparation. This is where you think about what he's going to pray. Is this what I want to pray? Father, deliver me from this hour. The cross. It's causing trouble, soul. But do I want to avoid this that's caused the troubled soul? In prayer preparation, he comes to a realization about himself. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. So he does not pray, deliver me from this hour. Look what he prays. Father, glorify thy name. Pretty short, isn't it? Pretty short prayer. I thought you're supposed to spend a couple hours in prayer. That's why I don't have a prayer life. I thought you had to spend all this, set aside all this time. That's why I don't go to the gym, and that's why I don't pray, because it just takes too long. Look how short that is. Father, and then the prayer. Glorify thy name. People, you'll recall a very important principle that we studied in prayer preparation. Sometimes, not all the time, sometimes you will spend a great deal of time, much more time in prayer preparation than in the actual prayer. But your time in prayer preparation was so vital to get to that point of an effective, powerful prayer. The prayer here by our Lord to the Father is short, but it's all that's needed to be said. It's all that needs to be said. He is saying, in this trying hour, I will suffer, if that's what glorifies you. I'll go through this, if that's what glorifies you. First of all, the address of the prayer. Father, orientation to whom he is speaking. Orientation to whom you are speaking. First of all, personal relationship. People, each one of you have a personal relationship with God, the sovereign, omnipotent, eternal God. This is one of the most remarkable things about Christianity. You have a personal, intimate relationship with Him. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time. We could just stop here. Every one of these words, people, I could just spend so much time on. And it'd be worth it. It'd be challenging, edifying to us. But this is the relationship in Galatians. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. He lets us know that He is, that God the Father is our Father. People, the Muslim religion, which is growing by leaps and bounds, does not have this kind of personal relationship with Allah. They're even their own idolatrous God. But you have a relationship, personal, intimate, with God. Secondly, authority. First, relationship. Second, authority. Now, there's a word that so many people hate, resent, even subtly. Parental authority. Husband's authority over the wife. Parents' authority over children. Teacher's authority. Police authority. Coach's authority. Boss authority. Pastor at the church authority. The arrogance of the flesh just desires to try to some way rationalize around this whole authority issue. And the reason we do that is we don't understand it. Authority is not something set up by God that is to belittle people. And it doesn't mean that the person that has authority over you is better than you, smarter than you, any of those kind of things. A boss at work, officer in the military, doesn't mean that they're superior, certainly not spiritually. But we get all out of shape with authority and resent it. Many women are not married because they do not want to submit to the authority of a man. I'm sorry. Now, the way a lot of men use authority today, or abuse authority today, or neglect authority today, I'm not sure I blame too many ladies. But what a shame. What a shame that prevents joining together and building a life together because of authority issue. America's built on the free enterprise system, and a lot of people want to run their own business because they have that spirit in them. But a lot of people do just because they don't want to submit to any kind of authority. Authority is very tough for people. There are a lot of people who don't go to church. They don't want to have a pastoral authority. They don't understand authority. But here, God, when we call Him Father, He is our authority. When you say Father, this means authority over your life, over all things. This is a primary principle behind the spiritual warfare, rebellion, where Satan is in the spiritual warfare, all related to the authority of God. This is why our prayers are addressed to the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. Now, when you go to the Father in prayer, what you're doing is mentally, spiritually, you are submitting. In prayer, you are submitting yourself to His authority. That's what we do in prayer. You're submitting to His authority, yourself to His authority in life, and that's why we go to Him in prayer. Father, glorify Thy name. Doxazo is a name for glory here. It means to honor, praise, to ascribe glory. In reality, of prayer preparation, Jesus Christ knows that He cannot be delivered out from this hour. So now He prays, glorify Thy name. Now, people, I haven't done this, it's been so many years, the all importance of the name. What's going on here? Glorify Thy name. What is Jesus Christ saying here? I'm going to tell you how emphatic this is. This short phrase, glorify Thy name, resolves the whole spiritual warfare. Defines your life. Defines decisions you make in your marriage, in your home, in relationships, in the church. This is a profound statement, if we can grasp it and understand it. If I had to pick one phrase to define the spiritual warfare and define your life, here it is. Glorify Thy name. It's unbelievably powerful. This whole concept of a name. Well, I could begin on so many levels of this study and make it a long study. I'm going to make it long, but I could make it even longer. I could begin, for an example, in ancient history. In ancient history, to know the name of a people's God gave you power. It gave you power to know the name of their God. It's very important in history and studying the Old Testament and understanding this whole ideal of names. Gives you a familiarity. I could go from the standpoint of just personal relationships. Now, many of you are married, but when you saw the person that you're married, what's her name? What's his name? That's the first thing. What's her name? Wow, that's a familiarity. That gives us a basis of approaching and talking. Their name. In marriage, the man gives his name to the woman. The woman takes his name. This is going to be a very important analogy in regard to what we're going to be seeing about the name of God. Us taking His name. We're the responders. In this case, we're the woman. Never forget. I've done it many times, but every the first time, and I was, in honesty, probably not in the Holy Spirit. Probably not. I was young, and still am. I was young, and I'll never forget, I was doing the wedding rehearsal, and they were both believers, and they didn't go to the church, but they both were believers, and so we were doing the wedding rehearsal the night before, And she goes, well, you know I'm not taking his name. I don't want that name thing. I'm keeping my own name. And people, without even thinking, I just went, oh, you'd rather be identified with your father than with your husband. That's okay with me if it's okay with him. Oh, that wasn't a nice thing to say at a happy occasion. And I almost was going to be asked not to do the wedding. However, the husband did smile. And but we'll talk a little about that, taking the name. What's going on here? Name. Importance of the name. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation. Let's go to the book we're studying right now and just note a few things. Just want to show you in this last book where the word name is all through. People from very beginning to the end of Revelation, this whole concept of a name. And all I want to do is start this morning with giving you a familiarity of the dynamics of it. Look with me at chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13, and he's talking to the church of Pergamum. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Can you imagine that? Pergamum is the place of Satan's, where Satan's throne is, and we studied this. The stairway that sometimes you see where Hitler walked, he brought from this area to Germany, and it's now in a basement to this very day. The staircase that was considered to be the stepping up to the throne, to the throne of Satan, from this area of Pergamum. And you hold fast. Look what it says. And you hold fast my name, and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. So much in the verse. But they did not deny. They held fast to his name. People, it's just amazing. I know that probably here you think, oh, there's a lot of people that hold his name. But if you take the whole world, those who believe in the name of Jesus Christ as the Savior, as the Son of God, very small. And it's very small in America. And it's getting smaller, the number of people. Does it surprise anyone in this room that such things as homosexuality, lesbianism, becoming more accepted, that things that have no the whole concept of morality is changing as we decrease the importance of Christ in our lives and our society? You increase the lust of the flesh. You increase all of degeneracy. And there's no way you can deny it throughout all history. You just study the where you have a decline in the emphasis of God, Jesus Christ. You have an increase in degeneracy of its people. And as more and more people in this country, even religions that don't accept Muslims, the Mormons, so many atheists, so many people, this name is not an important name. It's not a holy name. And even a lot of Christians walk away from it. And as we walk away from it, isn't it interesting what starts happening to take its place in life? Let's move on to chapter 3, verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. Talking to the church of Philadelphia. I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door. By the way, Philadelphia is one of two churches where nothing bad is said of this church. They're doing it right. I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have little power, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Look with me at chapter 3, verse 1. Or excuse me, let's go to chapter 15. Chapter 15. Chapter 15. The name is in through other passages through here, but let's just pick out some that are more obvious for what we were looking for this morning. Chapter 15, let's read verse 4 together. Who will not fear? All right, verse 3. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are thy ways, thou King of the nations. Who will not have awe, O Lord, and glorify thy name? That's what Christ said, glorify thy name. And glorify thy name. Why? For thou alone art holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you. For the righteous acts have been, for thy righteous acts have been revealed. Look with me at chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. verse 13. 19, verse 13. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now, I hope most of you here understand the Word of God doesn't refer to this Bible. Word of God refers to the truth of the gospel. I did the work, you just trust. Look at chapter 19 at verse 16. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look at me at chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 15. Chapter 20, verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. What, does that wake you up about your own name? I switched. All the other passages were about his name. But I wanted to end there with about your name. With what you are. Now, John chapter 12, glorify thy name. All right, let's get to work and find out what is going on and what Christ is saying. To grasp the historical development of this, because this is part of the whole spiritual warfare that's going on that you and I are aware of. We're all aware of this. I'm going to go back to right after the flood to pick up the momentum of our study. Go turn the heat back. I've got it way up high because when Gigi and I got here, it was really cold. Damn. Thank you. Okay. After the flood, that's what I want to look at to start our thinking. So let's take a look now. After the flood, point one, that man could not trust God. Think about it now. Their world, man's world, has just been polluted and destroyed by water from God. So what is their conclusion? We can't trust God. We cannot trust God any longer. Thank you. Can't trust Him. He'll just come in and wipe you out. Demonstrated by the fact that He, God, killed off man by the flooding of the earth with water. So, we can't trust God. Now, that brings us to point two. Man without God. After the flood, the new world, the physical earth, changed. Man's body changed. So, in order to survive as man without God, man was going to have to unite. Mankind was going to have to unite. That is, that he would have to be joined together. What is this idea? Power and unity. Why do we have to do this? Just to survive. In the building of his own kingdom, without God, man decided to make a name for himself. He could not rely on the name of God. He now must make a name for himself. People, what I'm getting ready to show you goes with part of our study, the basic instinct of man. Part of the whole basic instinct is our name. What is the whole concept of basic instinct? Performance. Why? That's me. My name. Who I am is going to be based upon my performance and my ability to perform. Look with me now at Genesis chapter 11. Look with me at Genesis chapter 11. Now don't get nervous. We won't study this through every book of the Old Testament. But this has to lay the groundwork so we'll understand, glorify thy name, the impact of such a short prayer by Jesus Christ just prior to the crucifixion. Now, if you'll look with me at Genesis chapter 11, and we want to read together verse 4. Verse 4. Well, let's just get the momentum. Verse 1, now the whole earth used the same language and the same words, and it came about as they journeyed east. Now, isn't that interesting? What have we already seen? What's the direction of man out of the garden? Where was the Garden of Eden and the whole area of Eden? East. Where did man go? East. You take the Ark of the Covenant. You go from the Holy of Holies and you move eastward. East is the direction of man. Okay. They journeyed east and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, very important, and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks, burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. Doesn't that seem, boy, in the whole eternal word of God, he's going to tell us, and they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. Boy, sound like something you just sign in some kind of mechanic book. No, that's very important in how unstable the things that we build are. Verse 4. And they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Let us make a name for ourselves. People, this is part of the whole basic instinct. This is part of the whole concept of religion. You make him Lord. You invite him into your heart. You do a ritual. You do this and you do that and you confess and you repent. You do something. You be good. You be moral. You do this. You study. You learn. It's all about me and my name. My person. Making that name for ourselves. Okay, let's go to point 3. The seed of rebellion is to make a name for yourself. Think about that now. Children leave home. Wife leaves husband. Children leave their parents. Got to make a name for myself. A name in our study. A name above God's. A name above God's. This above God's name. This should make a lot of passages, a multitude of passages about a name of God being so important. Like some of those we read in Revelation. In eternity past, people, in the prehistoric time, Satan rebelled against God, and he was motivated to make a name for himself. Making a name equal with God. If not greater than God. That my name can be right up there with the top. My name. Let's go to point 4. In the garden. In Genesis 3. In tempting the woman to rebel against God. Satan convinced her of making her own name. She would be like God. So make your own name so that you can be like God. So this has started right from the very beginning. I wanted to start with the flood, but I could have started Genesis, but I have reasons for the way we did. But right from the beginning, your own name, your own person. Let's go to point 5. Point 5. The carnal, rebellious nature of man is to make his or hers own name, to rebel against God, giving them a name. This is what we want to do. We want to rebel against God, get our own name. That's why we don't want to just believe in Jesus Christ, people. That's why so many people reject the simplicity of the gospel. One thing that Duane said in his store, I said, the message is really the whole thing, the whole Bible, the gospel, spirituality, it's very, very simple, Duane. Very simple. It's not complex. preachers make it complex, denominations make it complex, churches make it complex, and they divide over the complexities, they divide over this. And he just looked at me and he said, what you're saying to me is not just simple, that's profound. That it's just by faith. And I said, you got it. It's exactly what it is. It's profound. But why do we rebel against it? Because I want to do my own thing. I want to have a part of my salvation. I want my name right there. We wouldn't say it that way. We wouldn't be that bold. But I want to have a part of all of this. So if I get to invite him into my heart, if I get to... People, you're inviting Jesus Christ into the gutter. You're inviting him into depravity. He is the one that's given the invitation. But doesn't it sound good? Invite Jesus into your heart. Do something, man. Doesn't it sound good? People, he gave the invitation, not you! He gave it. Believe in my Son. He gave the invitation. He gives the gift. He invites us into the throne. Make him Lord. Sounds like we got some kind of great privilege. Let me tell you something I've come to realize. We don't even learn doctrine. We don't even learn the scriptures. That phrase has the idea that if I, with my mental ability, my IQ, if I discipline myself, and if I study long enough, I'll get it. No, you won't. We're totally dependent on His Spirit to illuminate it, to reveal it. I learned. Well, la-di-da. No, you didn't. What you and I see, that's truth, and the only way we're going to see truth is by a Spirit, is because of the Spirit of God. I can't even say, oh, I learned this. Didn't learn it. That sense of, like we do in school, well, I studied and I learned, I grasped it, it made logical sense, da-da-da-da, and all of this, and my reasoning ability. Like a lot of people, I know a lot of people depend on their reasoning ability. Boy, they just study and they work it all out. I'm sorry, that's arrogant. You're deceiving yourself. That's why a person with no education can see the truth and say yes. That's why a child can see the truth, hear it, and say yes. He illuminates it and opens our eyes to what the truth is. Okay, let's go to point six. Point six. Then man came up with a deal that in an ecumenical movement, man could make a name for himself. The issue is on making your own name, not receiving the name from God, not depending on God, but making your own name, making your own place. This is the heart of what so many different people do. Oh, we follow this person and we follow that person and we do this. This is our name. This is our name. We're Baptists. We're Methodists. We're Presbyterians. We're Catholics. We're this. We're that. We follow this great person. We follow that great person. And boy, whatever that person says is it. And what people, get away from all of that. There's only one name. And it's not mine and yours. It's not our name. His name. It's a mystery. And we'll study that. Let's come to point seven. Point seven. The importance of the concept of a name is that it had a spiritual or religious importance in the ancient world. And throughout history and in the eternal estate yet to come, to make your own name meant self-achievement. To be independent. Independent of God. You can do things without God. You can survive without God. This is making a name for yourself. This is what it's all about, in making this name for yourself. Let me change, put it on. Making name for yourself. It's your name. Now, ladies, please, Just relax. Let me take some things that are happening in our society to make a point that's applicable. But this is what so many ladies do. I don't want my husband's name. I want my own name. People, I am not talking about a woman becoming a doctor, president, whatever they want to become. That's not my point. Nobody said a woman can't do those things. I don't know where women ever got the idea. That's all you have to do with men and women, with human beings. Say you can't do it, and you're going to go do it. Oh, y'all, you can't drive a truck. I'm going to go drive a truck. You can't be a doctor. I'm going to be a doctor. You can't be a lawyer. I'm going to be a lawyer. You can't. Whoever told women they can't do these things really messed up. But I want to make a name. My husband's name. And I'm talking about Christians. My husband's name's not enough. I want my own name. I want my own place in all of this. It's my name. What I make. I've got to make my name. People, that type of thinking is what we do spiritually before God. Now think with me. Now go from that. Whether I offended you or not, let's forget that then. Let's go to the level of spiritual realm. I want to make my own name with God. Now, I don't want to be greater than God, but I want my own name there, so I want to work for it. I like a church that teaches me you got to do things for God so I can make my own name. I did that. I did that. I gave. I pray. I do this. I do that. And whatever it may be, I'm a great pastor. I have this and I do that. It's my name. People, it's not about our name. And it's not about making our own name. But that's part of our instinct nature, to make our own name. This is the decision Jesus Christ is going to have to make in the trying hour. Now, let's go to point eight. Let's go to point eight. Long point. Okay, point eight. God named man in the garden. Authority. Man named woman. Authority. God promised Abraham in the Abrahamic covenant that he, God, would make a name for Abraham. Abraham, you're not going to make your name. I'm going to make your name. Abraham, you're not going to go build a big tower. You're not going to go have a big home and a palace and a city and all of that. I'm going to make it for you. I'm going to make your name for you. This is a beautiful thing with Abraham. He lived in a tent. As great as Abraham was, lived in a tent. I'm going to make your name. Rebellion sets in when man no longer wants to receive his name from God. When you do not want to receive everything that you are from God. Rebellion sets in. I'm not going to receive my name from God. In rebellion, man must go out and establish his own name by something that he or she does. By his own works. Wants to work hard. Own accomplishments. I was saved because I'm very moral. I'm this because I study hard. I just study every day and I've learned a lot. Or I serve God. Do you know how many hours a day I serve God? I do this. I pray an hour every day. On and on and on. I want to make a name for myself by my accomplishments. People, this is works. This is works. This is what we're talking about when we talk about works. I don't want to walk by faith. See, God's made it very simple. God has made it very simple. Sit back, walk by faith, I'll give it to you. Oh, no, 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 I want to work. I want to earn it. Now we got this idea, we've got to earn work and accomplish these things in life. So, under point eight, long point, but it's a very important point. Rebellion of man is tied with this whole ideal of accomplishing his own name. Accomplishing his own name. And this is what the Tower of Babel is all about. This is what the Tower of Babel is about. The Tower of Babel is about making his name. Now, question. Could they have built a tower that would reach up to God? Could they? No. It's ludicrous. So therefore, was God concerned, oh, they might build a tower that'll reach us? No. Be sure you got that down. God isn't concerned about that. What was God concerned about? What was he concerned about that he gave them the languages and divided them up? People, he's concerned about bringing man to himself, bringing man to the truth. So often, when you will see something about what we're talking about in a teenager, in such a hurry to get away from the authority and the love of the home and of the parent, to go out on their own. Oh, I've got to go to a college way far away, or I've got to get into do something else and get away from it. Be independent of the parents. Prove something. Accomplish something independent of the father and mother. And more often than not, not always, and it's when it doesn't, more often than not, they fail. What happens when they don't fail, that's even more damaging when you don't fail. You might think that's when you're successful. That's when you're more damaging. When Israel fought against Christ, remember the wrestling match? And he actually won. He wouldn't let Christ go. He held on to him. They had a wrestling match. Held on to him all night. Wouldn't let him go. A lot of people think, boy, he lost. No, he won. He said, and I'm not going to let you go until you make a promise. Until you give me a blessing. Not going to let you go. And so, okay, I want to get out of here, so I'll give you one. I'm going to change your name to Israel. You know what that means? To fight with God. To contend with God. And that's what his name means. He didn't think about it. He thought he'd been blessed, so he let him go. He lost. But in the actual fight, he won. So when you're successful, it doesn't mean that you're really successful. It could be the worst thing is to do. The best thing to do is to fail. And that's what happens more often than not, is that they go out and they want to prove and they fail. Now, what's so beautiful is to come back. Just come back. And, okay, Dad, it didn't work. Okay, it didn't work. Didn't work. So what? Well, you know, I borrowed the money from you for the car, and I just can't pay you right now. You're going to come back home, yeah? Be father and son, yeah? Well, then you don't owe me anything. What do you mean? Well, I lent you the money when it was business. I lend you the money when you want to make a name for yourself and you want to do it all your way. And do it all your way. Then I dealt with you that way. But if we're going to deal with this as father and son, you're my son. I don't play a business game with you. You're my son. And you don't owe for this and you don't owe for that. But boy, we just got to work. And sometimes if we come back to God, he just says, I'm here. It's like the prodigal son. I'm here. My arms are open. I'm ready for you to come back. Let you go on your way to make your own name. And the worst thing that can happen is to make your own name. Best thing that's to happen is not make it, and you come back home to him. And he stands there ready to take you back. Father, glorify thy name. Okay, we have enough time for that. Let's take a look. Father, glorify thy name. Let's see what he's saying now. Let's see what Christ is saying when he says, Father, glorify thy name. Point one. By saying these words, glorify thy name, Jesus Christ is saying that he is not here to make a name for himself. That's the first thing that he's saying. I'm not here to make a name for myself. Remember, Jesus Christ, at this point, is a member of the human race. And as a member of the human race, he's facing a crisis. And he does not rebel against God, nor does he even question God. So the first thing that happens, Jesus Christ said, I'm not here to make a name for myself. That's the first thing he's got to do. I'm not here for that. Point two. Jesus Christ is not here to be independent of God. He is not here to make a name for himself. He could have walked away from the suffering of the cross, people, in the principle. He could have walked away. He could have kept his own name without blemish, without stain, without the stain of the sin of the cross. But out of love, he wasn't here for his own name. It's not why he came. See, that's the importance of that prayer preparation. Who am I? Well, am I here to make my own name? Am I here to stand firm and have all of this? No, it's not what I'm about. Because let me tell you something, people. Your decision here of why you're here and this whole thing of making a name for yourself, it's how you make decisions. If he decides, I'm here for my own name, then he decides not to go to the cross. But I'm not here for my name, I'm here for your name. And whatever is going to glorify your name, that's what I want to do. You have to decide for yourself, and I have to decide, if you're here for your name, your glory, what you're going to do, what you're going to accomplish, spiritually, economically, physically, it's going to direct so many questions. It will decide how you will answer questions. What am I going to do about this in my life? What am I going to do about this person in my life? What am I going to do about marriage? What am I going to do about work? What am I going to do about all these things? My money, my time, my name. All based in that area on the name. Point three. Glorify thy name is the greatest issue throughout all the spiritual warfare. Satan rebelled against the name of God in eternity past and wanted to make a name for himself. He desired to be like God. Man and woman in the garden did the same thing. But now we come to our Savior, the second Adam, and his words, people must become our words, but the thoughts have to be our thoughts that precede them. Father, glorify thy name in my life. My life is not about my name. And that's tough to do. It's totally against our flesh nature. It's totally against all that we are. Father, it is not about my name and me. It is about your name. You glorify your name in my life. Not by my determination, but by trusting Him. Walking in the same power that Jesus Christ walked in, the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want my name glorified. I'm not here for that. Glorify thy name. That's what I'm here for. I think it's very interesting. I don't know what will eventually happen with it all, but we'll just take it as the small section that it is. The coach of Texas A&M took their names off their jerseys. They were playing so poorly, took the names off. He said, we'll see about putting your names back on later. Right now, you've got to learn to play as a team. You've got to learn to play as a team. Forget that name. Play as a team. But we get this idea, I want to make a name, and there's so many athletes who are out there to do what? Make a name for themselves. Their name. It's not about the team. And that's what Christians do. Make a name for myself. Okay, let's go on to point four. Point four. It is the nature of man to rebel against God, not desire to do things God's way. What is God's way? Grace through faith. Just trust Him. But to do the way of the flesh. What is the way of the flesh? Basic instincts. To work. To perform, to be good. I want to be good for God. I want to obey God. I want to do things for God. I want to invite Him into my heart. I want to make Him Lord. I want to do all these things for God so that I have a part of all of this. So it's all part of the basic instincts of man to want to have part of his salvation. To work for God. To earn from God. To be rewarded for the work. Give me salvation. Give me my blessings. People, you don't get blessings and the rewards we talk about in eternity. You know what you're getting them for? Because you made a decision to walk by faith in the Spirit and let the Spirit work through you. That's what you're getting them for. Whole ideal of rewards. You and I have one obedience. To turn our lives over to the Spirit by faith. To just trust Him today. And let Him work through and in us. Let's go to point five. Point five. When Jesus Christ thinks of Himself, deliver me from this hour is what comes out. See it? He thinks of Himself. What's going to come out when you think of yourself? Deliver me from this hour. People, I don't want to get hurt. Nobody, none of us like pain. I don't want to be getting hurt and the pain and the suffering, separated from God, all the things that are involved there. When he thinks of God the Father, look what happens. Glorify thy name. So this is important. Let's take a look at it up here. When Jesus Christ thinks of self, what comes out when he thinks of self? Well, do I want to ask him to deliver me from this hour? When he thinks of God the Father, and who he is in the Father, glorify thy name. That's what I'm trying to show you people. This prayer is directional. It's going to direct Jesus Christ. It is historical. It tells us what the whole spiritual warfare is about. It's personal. It's about my life and your life. My marriage, your marriage. What you do with your money, your time. Is it about us? Is the short time I have on earth about us? No. Glorify thy name. And people, you don't want to say that if you don't mean it. Jesus Christ said it. He gets arrested. He gets betrayed by a friend. Arrested. Beaten. Spit on. Is that what you think? That's really cool? Kicked. And then crucified. Glorify thy name. Be sure you mean it. And that doesn't mean that's going to happen to every time, to every person. I'm just saying, what transpires after that, if you really walk in the Spirit for that to happen, may be startling. So, point five becomes very important. Let's move to point six. Point six. There is no honor in the death Christ died. Now, you and I can talk about the honor of salvation, but the way, the death that he died on the cross, there's nothing honorable about that. It was a shameful death. As Peter says, Jesus, who had committed no sin, for he himself bore our sins in his body, that's the cross. People, this is not a noble death. Being hung on a cross is low. It's shameful. Being put up on a cross naked, after being beaten, and spit on. The cross is not an honorable way to die. Romans, a Roman citizen, could not be crucified. They would not allow it. They had other ways to die. Romans would have to die, but not that way. You were given the choice. You could just take a nice jug of wine and a sharp knife and go get in a warm bath. You have a lot of choices. That we will, if you pardon the expression, honorable ways to die. This is not an honorable way to die. To be hung on a cross is not an honorable way to die. Yet Jesus Christ did not rebel. He went to the cross. He did not protect his sinless name. He had a sinless name. He had not committed any sin. Lived his whole life without committing a sin. He had a wonderful, clean slate. Clean name. And people, so that the Father could be glorified, he died a shameful death. Point seven. Let's make an application under point seven. There are two names. Your name and the name of God. Simple question. Whose name do you care about? You get to decide. You get to decide. I'm going to be very, very strong with you here. I'm talking about even in a marriage. It's not even your husband's. Let me talk to you ladies. It's not even your husband's name. It's not even your husband's name. It's God's name. How am I going to act in this marriage? And men, the same thing. It's not your name. How you're going to act towards your wife. How the wife is going to be toward the husband. It's not about their name. It's about his name and my name. Christ's name, my name. That's the only two names at issue. Somebody else's name is not at issue. My family name is not at issue. Your family name is not at issue. There's only two names at issue in your life. Christ's name and your name. You get to decide, when you make decisions, which name you're going to make decisions about. Whose name do you consider when you have to make a decision in life? Especially difficult ones. What will you do with your time? What will you do with your time? Come to Bible class and worship God? Grow in the understanding of His Word? or use your time for your name. That's pretty low blow, isn't it? I'm sorry. I don't have time to spare words. I'm showing you this is our whole life. What will you do with your life? What will you do with your money? What will you do with your time? What will you do with your marriage? What will you do with all these things? And people, it's all about my name, his name. Which name becomes important? Which name becomes essential? So we'll close here and pick it up, not next week, because next week I want to do Christmas and Job, but we will pick it up at the study of his name, of his prayer, and continue on in our study. Let's close in a word of prayer. Anyone who's here this morning has never accepted Christ as Savior, we always like to give that opportunity just to make a decision. What think ye of Christ? What must I do to be saved? It's very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We as humans, we have years and we have dates. We enter into a new year here. Be the goals, objectives. At the end of 05, what do you want to be? What do you want to be said about your use of 05? Whose name is going to be the priority? Heavenly Father, we just praise you for giving to us this prayer of Jesus Christ. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for showing us through Scripture the importance of this prayer, the dynamics of this prayer. What a phenomenal prayer this is. And I pray, Father, that your Spirit cause it to become my prayer. Cause it to become the prayer of all of us, each of us. To glorify, be glorified in our lives. Be glorified, not us, but you, in all that we do. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen. Hope to see y'all this evening.